Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Mazorere, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm great, Pastor Mazwa. I hope that you've had a fantastic day.
Yeah, sure.
Great. We're going to be spending this week together, but until Friday this time, each week, and I'm excited about it because we're going to be talking about the Church of Christ. And so today we're doing the, you know, introductory, you know, conversation with remarks, opening remarks, etc. And then tomorrow we're going to be, you know, delving deeper into the subject of the Church of Christ. So welcome to the Adventist World Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure for me to be here.
Thank you so much. Well, to those who are listening, you are also invited to please be part of the conversation. Send your commentary if you want to ask questions, if you want to comment on any of the things that are going to be happening in these conversations. Please do so at +27734703520. You know, Christianity is the world's largest and most widespread religion, with roughly 2.4 billion followers, comprising 31.2% of the world population. Now, its adherents, known as Christians, are estimated to make up a majority of the population in 157 countries and territories. So this week we will be talking about what is the true Church of Christ. So, Pastor, let's kick it off by understanding who or what is the Church of Christ.
who should refer to people? What? Maybe to an organization, but... let me tell you just as it is. The Church of Christ, I would say, it should be an organization which comprises of people who follow Christ.
It's an organization that comprises people who follow Christ.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's how we define the Church of Christ.
Yes.
All right. So, when we hear people saying you are the church, are they saying you are an organization?
You, as in referring to an individual.
Yes.
No, the church can be formed by an individual because it's a body with many parts.
Okay.
That's the analogy that the Bible gives us. Mm-hmm. So when you are on your own, you can't say you are Christ's church.
Okay.
Yes, and no man can form Christ's church.
Okay.
You have to be part of a body. That's what Corinthians tells us. Yes.
Oh, yes. Interesting. Now, when was this church first established?
The Christian church or the Church of God?
The Church of Christ.
The Church of Christ. Okay. Mm. So if we talk of Christ, then we have to start from the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Because Christ himself said in Matthew 16, verse 18, that's the first time that he speaks to Peter concerning his church. He says, because remember before that he was attending church at the one at the temple in Jerusalem, until somewhere about Matthew 23, I think, that's when he declared that he was going to leave the house desolate. But he had said to Peter, "You are Peter, and on this rock, which is I, Christ myself, I will build my church." And in Matthew 23, it said, "I'll leave your church or your house desolate." So I would say somewhere about the first century, that's when Christ established his church.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, interesting, very interesting, Pastor. Thank you so much. Is there a difference between the Church of God and the Church of Christ?
Now, it's a matter of terminology. There must be no difference. The issue that the reason why we end up with saying Church of God and Church of Christ is because historically there came a time when the Church of God was almost extinct, or it was operating, beyond. It was no longer visible because the group that God had chosen to represent him had failed on that mission. But if you are to trace it, you are going to start straight from Eden. That's when you first see two people created by God who are setting aside time to worship God. Even when you get to Genesis chapter 4, I think it's verse 26, it says, after the birth of Enosh, they started to call upon the name of the Lord. So we see people worshiping God. And wherever people are gathered in worship of God, we say that's the church of God.
I see.
Because Acts chapter 7, verse 38, Stephen testifies and says it was the same God who was with the church in the wilderness. So as they were moving even from Egypt back to Canaan, we would say they were now, the church was in the wilderness. The church was in captivity in Egypt. The church was back in Canaan. The church, you know, as we move on towards the first century. But this very same group, we all know their history. They did not continuously stay on God's principle until God had to say, if you read, I think it's chapter 13 of Acts, verse 36, I think, where Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and they said, it was good that this message was supposed to be preached to you first, referring to the Jews. Mm. But now that you have rejected it, lo and behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. So the group that God had chosen to represent him so that all the other nations and peoples would come to God, that same group had reneged on God's mission. So God had to find another new group. That's when we now come to the New Testament and Christ is saying, I'm leaving your house desolate. And I'm now going to form my new church, my own church, which we call now the Christian church. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the church has always been in existence, right, straight from Eden.
Okay. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. Now, for what purpose was the church established?
Yeah. I know of no other purpose except for mission. When you look at Christ himself, his last words to his followers, the disciples, who were now the first church, the early Christian church, he told them in no ambiguous terms that they were supposed to go out to the whole world and preach the message. Even the core of the message of the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, we are told that this angel, had an everlasting message, a global message, Yeshua was supposed to be preached to the whole world. And we are told in Matthew 24, verse 14, that Christ will not come unless and until the message has been preached. In fact, the word church itself, the word church, when you have to do a word study of its origins, it comes from a Greek word, ekklesia.
Okay.
Ekklesia, yeah. Ekklesia formed by two words, ek and kaleo. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Ek means out of. Kaleo means I call.
Okay.
So if you put them together, church means I call out of. Okay?
All right.
So ecclesia means a people who have been called out of. To do what? When the Greeks were using the word ecclesia, it was not referring to followers of Christ. Mm. They would use it contemporarily to mean a group of people who were called out of their homes to go and perform duties on behalf of the government, especially the army. So they were called out. They would perform duties for the government. Number one, they would go for war, should there be any war. Number two, number three, if there was war and there were people who surrendered in that war, it was the duty of the ecclesia to make sure that they would incorporate such into becoming Greeks and they would be given Greek citizenships. And also those that would fail to live according to the standards of the Greeks, they were also excommunicated. So there were about four roles of the ecclesia. The same word was then transferred to refer to the church. So the church is a group of people that have been called out of a certain lifestyle. You are called out, you stand before God, you are the ones who are now representing God on earth, you are representing God's government on earth, you are making sure you go for war on behalf of God. We are in a great controversy. That's our mission, to make sure that in this controversy we win souls to Christ and from the enemy. And those that would have surrendered from the enemy, we make sure that they find place in this church. And also those that do not live according to the principles of the church, we also excommunicate, if you want to use that word. So the mission of the church is to make sure that we reduce the numbers from the camp of the enemy. That's the mission of the ecclesia, even in its old and new, also as it applies to Christianity. So any church that calls itself a Christian church but is not engaging on mission should stop and cease to call itself a church, because the word itself means those that are on mission on behalf of God.
Very, very strong words there. And I must say that I agree to a very large extent with what you are saying. We go to many churches, and sometimes when you get into these buildings or the body of believers, you get a sense that people are here to just have a good time, to entertain themselves, and to really consider spending time together and really have a good time in the Lord. And what you are talking about, the mission, etc., becomes secondary at times, only spending about 20% of our time, if at all, doing that. And I think I've actually noticed quite a large population of Christianity doing that in their spaces. In fact, you notice even with the budgets, when we're allocating budgets of what needs to be done with these within these church organizations, you discover that what goes to mission, actual mission, is a very small fraction of what is allocated to other departments. You're taking care of the building, etc., taking care of other departments, etc. And mission, you then discover that it right there at the tail of the end. Would you suggest that we close these places?
Yeah, they must close. It's a pity that we have turned church to be like social clubs, whereby we have time to meet with our friends. We chat about the last soccer match and maybe the political party that is, you know, becoming prominent during those days. And at lunch, we are also discussing other issues. No one talks about mission. No one bothers about visitors that have come to church. No one even notices that we have new people at church, because we are no longer concerned about mission. But every other issue, we are ready and eager to discuss and to participate in. Look at even, it's a church where people, you know, discuss when we are going to have our next braai and how much should be, pulled together. So church ceased to be church. It's now a social gathering, and it's very, very unfortunate. But the word church is nothing to do with social action. It is to do with mission. So if mission is not our top priority, then we are in danger of becoming useless and irrelevant. And I want to tell you that the moment each church is engaged in mission, sincerely and wholeheartedly, all the other issues that we are talking about, they'll fall in place. When we say the Adventists are cold, they don't have love. Love will be part of us if we are engaged in mission. If we have souls at heart, you'll discover that we care about the next person. We want to know why so-and-so is not here today. We want to know what has happened to that old granny. Next door neighbors have got, their house was burnt. What do we do? We have got the resources to go and help. But if we are not concerned about mission, we don't even know what is happening, even in our communities around us, and we become so irrelevant and no one bothers.
Very interesting, because, I mean, if we were to begin to do an audit and start to close these places down, we may remain with, my opening statement was that we have got the biggest, at least on the continent, the biggest, in fact, even the world, the most widely spread, religion is Christianity in the world population. Now, if we were to really look down into it, will actually reduce this church organization into a non-entity.
Yeah, true. And that is why if you look at the Western churches, that's why most of them are closing. So we hear. It's because someone somewhere at some point neglected mission. If they had remained in mission, those churches would never have closed. But because they attend their gatherings to be social gatherings, social clubs, then there was no reason for them to continue meeting anymore, because you can still meet at Old Trafford or at Wembley or at Etihad. Yeah.
Well, quite interesting, quite interesting. So if an individual then says, well, I'm going to go to church and I want to be part of this particular church organization, and they go there and they discover that, well, it looks like the people here are preoccupied with the scores over the last week and, what political movements were happening around, and this political party outmaneuvered this one, etc. Can we then allow this person to say, well, brother, you are allowed to leave. You're in the wrong place.
I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't want to be quick to say so. If you are in that, if that's where you are staying in that community, and that's the nearest church that is, within that community, you get there and you discover that they are almost on the verge of fulfilling the prophecy, the love of men will wax cold, then you should also remember that you have been called to be the salt of the earth. And it's your duty now to make sure that by your flavor, you influence people towards what is right. So you can't run away, because each and every church that you're going to go to, you're going to find the same things inherent. So you'll have to realize and notice that God will not place people in some particular places or areas without them being expected to fulfill a particular mission. So says Exodus 17:26, God put people in certain boundaries so that from those boundaries they may be able to grope about and find him. So if I get to a church which is closer to my place of stay, I should not run away because I'm finding that the church is irrelevant. Maybe God has placed me in that area so that I become the flavor and the salt and also influence as many as I can toward that which is right. It may become small, but if I become prayerful and I'm sincere and I'm honest and I'm passionate about it, you'll discover that many others will also join you. So I wouldn't say you should run away and look for somewhere else. No, don't run away. That's the church. Get there. It's in the Laodicean state, but this Laodicean state must go away. And it should start with you. We have realized that this is the condition in which we are in. So you don't have to run away because Laodicea is all over.
At least I have some hope because I was a little worried that let's close these places. But you are saying, no, don't go, don't go. Perhaps you are the hope that we may not close this place after all, eh?
Yes.
Okay, interesting. Well, Pastor, I must say thank you so much for joining us this particular weekend, of course, this day. And I do hope that we are going to be getting in and delving much deeper into the topic of the Church of Christ. I think for this introduction, I do want to say thank you so much for joining us. Blessings to you.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Blessings. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.